But right now, we're meeting the candidates. Joining us in studio today is the conservative candidate for Hastings, Lenox, and Addington, Derek Sloan. Good morning, Derek, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Lauren. I'm glad to be here.
Now, we met you a few months ago when we found out that you were going to be the candidate, and that's a long time ago. And people, I think, forget, and we get new people every time. That's one of the things I'm sure you're noticing, that people to this area are coming here. And so what somebody may have heard or not heard, there's always new people. So I'm doing this with all the candidates, and I'm saying, well, tell us about yourself. Tell us what you do. Who are you with? You know, what's your life like?
Sure. So I'm a young family man. I have three young kids. One of which is with us in the studio. She's a little bit sick today, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. And by the way, the cutest person to be in the studio for quite a long time.
I'm not going to disagree with you there.
Yeah, no. Pretty adorable. Okay. Well, I hope she feels better. Chicken soup.
Yes, that is the number one cure for sickness. Absolutely. Yeah. I have three young kids. I'm a lawyer by trade. I live in Belleville, so I live north of the 401. And as you know, north of the 401... is in our riding, unless you're in Quinte West, in which case you're in a different riding. Mm-hmm. So Belleville's sort of split in two, and I live in the north part there. I graduated from Queen's University. I'm a former small business owner, excited to bring some new ideas and energy to the riding.
What kind of lawyer?
So I did work in civil litigation and family law. I did some work in Kingston and also Belleville, and I've had my own practice for a couple of years.
Family law, that's challenging, isn't it?
It is. And you know what? It also gives, you know what? Sometimes a lawyer is the only person that someone can talk to in those difficult times. And we do as much counseling as we do legal advice. And it's challenging, but rewarding.
What got you into politics? It seems that with three young kids and being a lawyer, that's a busy life. What made you decide to become a politician?
Well, I felt concerned about some of the things I was seeing in the country. I felt sort of a focus on political correctness and sort of flashiness as opposed to things that are actually going to help and impact local Canadians in our country. So I thought I'd throw my hat in the ring, and that was a year and a half ago, and, mm-hmm. and here I am today, less than 20 days away from a federal election.
Isn't that crazy?
That's right.
What have you learned in that year and a half? And certainly... I guess we're in day, 22 now, so of the official campaign, but you know that campaign started a year and a half ago.
Yes.
So what have you learned?
Politics is a grueling endeavor, and I respect everybody who's running right now, and I encourage everyone to show respect to all the candidates, even if you disagree with what they stand for, and I just wish everybody the best. It's a tough gig. And it's quite a marathon.
I've spoken a little bit to every candidate, and everybody has said exactly what you just said. In this particular area, everybody has been very kind and respectful. So when you see the mudslinging and the slanderization and the focus on the negative, how does that make you feel, somebody who's trying to be grassroots here and just... try to tell people why to vote for them and not focusing on somebody else's defects?
I mean, I can't control what goes on in other places, but I try and keep it positive here. I haven't met all the candidates. I know Mike Bossio fairly well, and the joke I use is for every time I've met him, I've been hugged about twice as many times.
He's a hugger.
And you know what? I like Mike. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
And we try and keep it as positive as we can, and I think Mike follows that principle as well, and so far as I know, the other candidates are like that as well.
So we know mudslinging, obviously, with the Prime Minister when it comes to, the black/brown face scandal, things like that. Just yesterday, the Globe and Mail came out with a story about Andrew Scheer and his license or not license or whatever it is with the insurance business. These are the kind of things that make people hate politics and politicians. Is it frustrating for a guy just on the hustings knocking on doors?
You know what? I hear both things. I mean, some people are sick of sort of the negativity, and some people say, well, why aren't you guys hammering more on, this or that issue? And so I basically just say, look, we do the best we can, and it's not good enough for some people. It's way too much for others. And as far as myself, I just try and keep it positive and keep it local.
Our phone lines are open, 613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546. Your questions, your comments for our first conservative candidate who has come in studio today. Let's talk a little bit about the leader before we get to talking about some of the platform issues. It's taken a while, I think, for Canadians as a whole to kind of get to know the leader. And anybody running against a celebrity prime minister or celebrity leader, that's a difficult thing. It doesn't matter who it is, right? Barack Obama was like that, and I don't want to talk about Trump, but Justin Trudeau certainly is a celebrity. Andrew Scheer doesn't have that same kind of haircut and thing. And so have you found that to be a challenge at all? And also some of his personal views, and I say personal views, very kind of right-wing and conservative. A lot of people want to vote conservative or fiscally conservative, but they certainly don't agree with some of his personal views. Have you had to deal with any of that at the door?
I would say the primary thing I've had to deal with is just him being unknown. So, you know, it is a challenge in Canadian politics. I mean, only a few of us are really into politics, and the average person doesn't really pay a whole lot of attention.
No, they're too busy doing their own life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it has been an uphill battle, just in terms of recognition. But I think it's now that there's so many commercials and all that, we're getting that a lot less.
Do you find that people doing this show, I find that people aren't really connecting yet with this election.
Mm-hmm.
Are you finding that at the door? And that's unfortunate. Because people need to get out and vote. People
Absolutely.
Need to learn who the candidates are in their riding, and they need to get out there and vote because it's important. I don't care who you vote for,
mm-hmm.
right? Get out and vote and make this country yours. It's an incredible privilege and right that we have in this country that so many other countries don't.
Absolutely. Well, I've always said we get the government that we deserve.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
You know, a lot of people are simply not engaged. There's a lot of people who are, but there's a good chunk of people who are not engaged. I understand the pressures. I mean, we have busy lives. For us, when the writ dropped, it was much different. People started to expect to see us at the doors. So for me, it seems like people are engaged, but you know, you'd know as
no, you would
as
know
I
more
suppose,
than anybody because so. You're at the door, right?
So at the door, I am seeing that people are a lot more engaged now than they were before the writ dropped.
Well, it's hard in the summer too, isn't it?
That's right. That's yeah. right. But even then, that was only a couple of weeks ago, and before that, people were not even thinking about it. So I think you are right in that sense.
What about Andrew Scheer's conservative views on same-sex marriage or abortion or female rights, that kind of thing? I think most Canadians are to the center or left on that subject. And of course, I'm not saying it's going to be brought up ever. Stephen Harper, I think, had a lot of the same personal beliefs, and he never brought it up. Your thoughts on those beliefs, and what are yours? I think people want to know.
Sure. Well, I think that as far as, you know, Andrew Scheer is concerned, and, you know, there's a speech that was brought up in 2005, I believe. Many people have said similar things much more recently than that. I mean, we had President Obama saying similar things in between his first and second terms. And this is, a debate that's been going on for the last several decades around the world. So I don't think it's unusual. And in fact, a variety of current Liberal members have said similar things. So, you know, views evolve and change, and, you know, I think it is clear that our government respects those rights and it will not be sort of changing the rights that
it would be political suicide in Canada to touch abortion rights. Would you agree?
Well, I would disagree with you in this sense. Now, our leader has been clear that the policy has not changed from Stephen Harper. So, you know, he's not going to be. There's no hidden agenda from his point of view. He's been clear, and frankly, I believe what he's saying. Like, he's not going to change his view on that. But I do think, and as we discussed this when I was here 5 or 6 months ago, Canada is, in some ways, the debate is not even a debate because Canada doesn't have any laws regulating abortion, and that makes them out of line with practically every other democratic country in the world. So, no matter, you know, everyone's favorite liberal country, whether it be Sweden or Germany or whatever, they all have rules about, you know, timeframes and so forth. We just have sort of avoided that conversation after our own laws got taken off the books by the Supreme Court in the 80s. And some people tried to have a conversation on that, and then it basically didn't happen, and we've been avoiding it ever since. So I don't think that's going to, like, I don't think that's going to happen when we get elected, but at some point there is going to be a conversation. I don't know when, and you know, it can be a conversation amongst all Canadians about exactly, you know, I mean, you told me yourself that you didn't agree that, you know, basically well into the third trimester that abortion should occur. And most Canadians feel that late term abortions are, you know, maybe not the right way to go.
Yeah, I think my beliefs are if a child could be born and at that point and kept
and survive,
alive,
yeah.
Then that's probably the best way, unless there's a massive defect that's going to cause this child enormous pain or death right after or whatever. But I think you and I both agree that a woman should have control over their body. And Canadians, I think, believe that. So if that's ever a conversation of how do we handle that thing, that's a delicate one to get to. What about same-sex marriage?
Well, again, our party is a broad party, and Canada is a broad country with a lot of different views. But at the same time, our party has been clear on the fact that we expect the constitutional rights of LGBTQ people. I have several gay and lesbian people that are working with me closely on the campaign. We get along very well. The party is 100% behind those rights, and we're also behind the rights of people to have, you know, different views on that, and that's fine. I mean, that's Canada's a pluralistic country. We can have different views, and to each his own, essentially.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right. 613-969-1545. Toll free 1-866-969-1546. Let's go to Carolyn. Good morning, Carolyn.
Hi. Good morning. I read in the paper this morning that the Conservatives are going to do their best to try to balance our budget within the 5-year period,
yes,
which I think
question.
Is great.
Mm-hmm.
But how are we going to do this, and how can we? What is the party platform, and how this is going to be accomplished?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I can tell you some of the things that we're going to be getting rid of, which would help us in that respect. So we've highlighted $1.5 billion in corporate welfare in this country that has not been helping Canada. So this is money that the companies either haven't needed or is going to basically enrich shareholders or executives.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one savings. We've also said we're pulling out of the Asia Infrastructure Bank, which we currently give about $250 million to. That helps build infrastructure in China. Frankly, we need that infrastructure here. So
agreed.
those are a few things that we're aiming to do. Obviously, we hope that some of our regulatory streamlining will help business and raise revenues over the next several years. But those are some of the big ticket items that we're looking at getting rid of.
And natural resources. Are we going to finally start using our resources?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a good thing you brought that up. And in our riding, everyone seems to agree, or almost everybody seems to agree with me on this. We're the only party that has made a commitment to make Canada energy sufficient on its own resources by 2030. So what that means is right now we import about $10 million a day from Saudi Arabia on tankers. So I'm talking about oil, crude oil. We sell our oil at a discount, a massive discount to the United States. We say, look, we need to keep that money here, and that is our commitment along, you know, for our energy industry and for our resources generally.
Thanks, Carolyn. Appreciate the question. It's 20 minutes after 10 o'clock. We'll take our first break. Our guest in studio today is Hastings, Lennox, and Addington Conservative candidate Derek Sloan. More of your calls and questions, 613-969-1545. After the break, as the Lauren Brooker Show rolls on down the highway here on 800 CJBQ.
Something to say? Call Lauren now at 613-969-1545 or 1-866-969-1546. The Lauren Brooker Show on 800 CJBQ.
1024. We are meeting the candidate, and our candidate today is Derek Sloan. Derek is the Hastings, Lennox, and Addington Conservative candidate, and he wants Andrew Scheer to be the Prime Minister come Election Day, which is October 21st. You'll hear full election coverage here on the station, 800 CJBQ, on election night with Jack Miller, myself, and Ross McDougall hosting. let's talk a little bit. And our phone line's open, of course, 613-969-1545. Your opportunity to call and get a question in for the Conservative candidate. Let's talk a little bit about some of the platform issues. One of the big things, Derek, that everybody is talking about, it doesn't matter what party it is it's like, hey, you know, Guy Fieri says, welcome to Flavor Town. Everybody's saying, hey, welcome to Spending Town. Where's the money going to come? Every candidate has come up with, you know, really, everybody likes them because they're big hanging fruit, delicious treats for everybody, whether, you know, it is pharmacare, whether it is free tuition, whatever the case. Where's this money going to come from? Because I already don't have any.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, you know, I earlier on in the show, I mentioned some things that we're planning to cut. So, for instance, there's a lot of corporate welfare that goes on in this country, which is unneeded and unasked for, and it doesn't benefit Canadians. So that's something that we're going to be cutting.
Let me give you an example of that.
Sure.
The Canadian government gave Loblaws a crud load of money to buy freezers.
That's correct.
Loblaws already has a crud load of money.
That's correct.
So why does that kind of thing happen?
I'm not sure. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we've itemized $1.5 billion of this type of stuff that's occurred, and we're saying no more. So, and I can give you other examples that are even worse. I mean, money to BlackBerry that they didn't ask for and they didn't need. And, you know, we can't afford this stuff. So that's one thing. I would also point out that a lot of our stuff is actually tax cuts as opposed to additional spending. Some of it is additional spending. And in one sense, yes, it means less revenue to the government, but it does also mean more money in your pocket, which we feel will also stimulate the economy and help to raise revenues at the end of the day. So that's one sort of difference in a lot of our approach here.
Andrew Scheer just announcing moments ago that he would cut the amount of money that we give on a global level to countries in need by 25% and focus in on countries where children are in the crosshairs, so to say. What do you think about that? Should we be cutting the amount of money that we give?
Well, I'll tell you a message that I've heard almost, you know, every day in this riding. And, you know, there's actually a lot of our riding is experiencing in some areas poverty and difficulty getting by. And people have no problem helping other countries, but they say, you know what, we got to look after our own people first. You know, a 20% cut in our foreign spending, we'll still be doing a lot to help other people. We do need to focus on key areas because you can't spend money on everything and we just don't have enough to do all that we'd like to do. But I think it is a good idea to focus on Canada and make sure that, you know, we help the people at home and then help others abroad as we can.
Let's talk about immigration. The Trudeau government always was very strong on immigration. This is a massive country, second biggest landmass in the world with a tiny population, half the size of Great Britain. And we know that by and large, once immigrants get settled, they do quite well. On one end, we have the People's Party who basically wants to shut down immigration. I don't think the Conservatives are against immigration. What is the Conservative policy when it comes to bringing people into this country, which we do need?
Yeah, so we're 100% in favor of legal immigration. We think that immigrants we're a country of immigrants after all. And, you know, immigrants bring all kinds of talents and money and other sorts of benefits to the country. We are against illegal immigration, of course, or illegal border crossing and so forth. We feel that people should come through the proper channels and go through the proper procedures. Yes, we're in favor of that, and we want to make sure that we're bringing in people that are good for Canada and that Canada is good for them. And, you know, a lot of people are losing trust in the immigration system based on, you know, we're seeing the illegal crossings in certain parts of the country. That's unnecessary. I mean, immigration, like we've said, is good for the country, and we'd like to restore the public's trust in a system that's reasonable.
So you're a family lawyer.
That's correct.
And you know how hard it is to be part of a family. You got three kids, right? So when we talk about refugees, which is a little different than immigration. So there are families in whatever country that are saying, hey, my parents have immigrated to Canada, or my uncle and he's got a business and I've in the same business now. I want to come there. I've got some money in the what I want to move and immigrate. And then you have people such as the Syrians who might have been totally happy living in their house in Damascus, except it's not there anymore. And bullets are in the air. And you have kids that are starving to death. And these people might still have money in the bank and have had a good life. The prime minister brought a lot of those people here. Should we continue to be a country that opens our hearts to people who are suffering?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're not going to be changing, we're not going to be changing the fact that we're going to have, a family line stream of immigration and also refugee status as well. So none of that will change. But I think that people will, people will feel that what we're doing is good for Canada and is making sure that people are coming through the proper channels and that we're doing the appropriate vetting and so forth.
Do we not do vetting, though? I mean, I think when it came to the Syrians, before any Syrians came, Canadians and the UN were over there and trying to vet everybody as much as possible.
Yeah, so vetting does occur, and I've heard some anecdotal stories where that hasn't occurred as much as it should. I mean, our main focus is not so much on the vetting, but just to increase people's trust in the system, because I can tell you in our riding, a lot of people have lost trust in the system because, frankly, it's basically to do with the illegal crossings that have been occurring.
Such as the people coming through into Quebec and things like that.
Quebec and other provinces. Yeah. It wasn't necessary, because if those same people had come at a normal crossing, we would have said, hey, we have an agreement with the United States. You actually have to declare asylum there first. And you have to be judge adjudicated in that country.
Yeah, that's the Donald Trump effect, because a lot of these Haitians and people that were coming through, especially into Quebec, are terrified that they'd be kicked out of where they were in America. Do you find that it is hard to say the word immigration or refugee and not now have people think that we're going to be mean and terrible like they have been on the south of the border? I mean, Canadians are not going to take children away from their parents. Never would do that. Can you imagine if somebody tried to do that in this country? There would be a full-scale revolt.
Yeah, I mean, all we're saying is look, we'd love to have you come to Canada. Just come through the proper channels. Yeah.
Well, I think that's what everybody wants. I think that's what Americans want too, right?
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable position for anybody to take, and that's what most of the people in our riding feel as well.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Glenn, good morning. You're on 800 CJBQ with Derek Sloan.
Hello there.
Hey, Glenn.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
The environment is a big issue with me, and Andrew Scheer has come out with a carbon tax on heavy emitters. So my question is what makes Andrew Scheer's carbon tax better than Justin Trudeau's carbon tax?
That's a great question.
And just a secondary question. do you precisely know where Doug Ford is right now? Like, do you have him rolled up in a carpet somewhere? Or
I believe as we speak right now, he's at a diner in Etobicoke. And he's having some eggs. No, obviously he does have no idea. I know what you're trying to say. And so just before you get to the environment question, which you're certainly getting right, the Doug Ford thing, was that a topic of discussion hitting the hustings?
You get comments from time to time, but most people realize that, provincial and federal are different jurisdictions and so forth. Some people are more concerned about it than others, but it wasn't a huge topic in terms of our door-to-door knocking here.
Okay, the environment, as Glenn mentioned, it's a huge issue. And so what? His question, what is the difference between the Trudeau and the Scheer carbon tax idea?
Sure. So I'll just tell people quickly, if you want to see our full plan, it's pretty lengthy. You can go to our website. It's arealplan.ca. So if you want to look at it, that's where you can find more information. I would disagree with you slightly there, Glenn, because so what we've done is with emitters over a certain level, they have to invest a certain amount of money in green technology. So what we're doing is, a lot of people I've spoken to say, look, I'd be okay with a carbon tax maybe if I knew that the money went to the environment. But this current carbon tax does not go to the environment. It goes to general revenues in the government. So this plan would force big emitters, and frankly, the bulk of people who pay for it are you and I. The big emitters have exemptions that were given to them by Justin Trudeau. So this would actually make big emitters, not you and I, put money into green technology, which would actually further sort of progress that we're making here with inventing new technology that can help sort of create a circular system that will help to reduce emissions even more. So that is a difference. And then we also have other aspects to our plan involving actually dealing with toxic and other sort of waste that goes into the environment. So, I mean, the liberals like to talk about, conservatives think pollution should be free. Well, let's remember the $8 billion liters of sewage that was dumped by Montreal into the St. Lawrence. That was signed off on by Catherine McKenna. So, I mean, there's all kinds of pollution that happens for free every day. And we have a plan, a point in our plan to deal with that type of stuff, to work with municipalities and other people to stop raw sewage dumping, amongst other things. So there's a variety of facets that need to be considered, and we hope to deal with them all.
Glenn, anything else?
I was also wondered if he could maybe answer if he could do anything about the water management problem we're having here in Belleville.
Could you clarify? You don't mean Lake Ontario being higher than it typically is? You mean something else?
No, that's what he means.
No, the flooding and everything we're having. With the issues with
Glenn, you read my mind. That was my next question. So
you know what? That's a really good question, and I'll tell you.
I'll hang up. Yep.
Okay. So I'll tell you what where I'm at on that. And again, I'm not an expert. In fact, I'll be meeting with a community group up further in Lennox and Addington later on in this campaign to learn more. What I understand is that we had a water management plan for about 50 years that was changed a couple years ago.
In 2014, yeah.
Exactly. So my initial reaction is, well, why don't we go back to the plan that worked? So again, I'm not pretending to be an expert here, but that would be my initial inclination. And it is a problem, no question.
It's a huge problem. Some experts are saying we could have a foot more of water next year above where we were, which means this is all gone, right? We're underwater, not up here on the fourth floor, but this is not something that could be procrastinated. So how would you, I mean, say you get elected in a few weeks, how quickly can you get on this for us? Hastings, Lennox, and Addington, Bay of Quinte are all both on the bay.
I'll get on it right away. I mean, like I said, I don't know. I understand there's an international joint commission on this, but I will certainly pound this issue up to the very highest levels of my party here. And I think I don't see any reason why we can't go back, to be honest with you.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. 613-969-1545, toll free 1-866-969-1546. Our guest is Derek Sloan. He is the conservative candidate in Hastings, Lennox, and Addington.
To make, call Lauren now at 613-969-1545 or toll free 1-866-969-1546. Back to the Lauren Brooker Show on 800-CJBQ.
Welcome back. It is Meet the Candidate. Derek Sloan, the Hastings, Lennox, and Addington conservative candidate, is in studio with us. And your opportunity to call in and ask him a question, 613-969-1545, is open to you. Let's go to Mary. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. How's everybody today?
We're doing great.
Good. Thank you, Mary.
I'd like to inquire about skilled trades. Everybody says we need skilled trades. It's so expensive for kids to go through the trade, and then when they're done, it costs them between $500 and $800 for their exam. Why is that not included in the price of the schooling? Do you know?
I don't know. That's a really good question, and I know that our party is also in favor of trades. We're underrepresented in a variety of areas in the country with trades. I don't have anything specifically to tell you on that front, and part of it is obviously provincial as well. But I can tell you that our party is trying to make access to trades easier, and so it may end up with some types of bursaries or help or aid to people doing that.
But you would think that the exam would be included in the price.
Well, it does seem that that's an expensive fee for an exam. I agree with you, and I think that's a very good idea.
And it's a very stressful exam, too. I don't care what trade it is.
It is also, as Derek said, it's really a provincial matter.
Mm-hmm.
Skilled trades, colleges, universities. Those are provincial issues.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a question for MPP Todd Smith. If you
okay, I'll give Todd a call then.
Yeah, because
thanks.
That's his. That's his. Not his. You know. Purview,
yeah.
But that's his, you know, it's a provincial thing. And that's just a point that the general population really doesn't know. They don't know the difference between provincial and federal matters and sometimes even municipal matters. To them, they are a taxpayer and they just want the services that they need as a tax-paying member of this country. And that's, is that a difficult thing to keep in the back of your mind?
It is difficult. And, you know, a lot of people, when I go to the door, they'll say, yeah, my only problem is I want you to fix this culvert or, you know, make the roads better.
Or I don't have a doctor.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So people don't necessarily understand what parts of government impact all of that. What I tell them is, look, the federal governments have been downloading a lot of services onto the provinces and especially municipalities over the last several decades. And so what you need to look at is the federal government using my money well. Because if they are, then that means you can get more transfers locally and hopefully more services locally. If they are not, that's where services get cut. Because it's easier to download something onto the municipality than to take responsibility for it, and that's what will happen.
Let me ask you, last Friday was a big deal for young people in this country, as literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them walked in support of a climate emergency, climate change. Your leader, Andrew Scheer, did not, and I guess we can argue if that was an error in judgment and it would have looked better. But what do you have to say to young people who might say to you that, hey, I'm out there walking. I'm concerned. You have a three-year-old in the studio right now who could be alive at the turn of the century. Hopefully. What do you want to say to her when your leader doesn't walk with those young people and show a commitment to this with them?
Well, you know, we have actually, in my view, a very good environmental plan. And if people are interested in taking a look at it, they can go to arealplan.ca. That's a website. It's actually many pages, and it's more than I can get into right here. But we have a plan that focuses on all aspects of the environment. So, yes, carbon emissions is a big aspect of it. But we also focus on other pollutants that are just being dumped recklessly into the environment. And we, frankly, further have a part in there where we say, look, Canada actually does a lot of things better environmentally than the rest of the world, and we need to promote that type of technology being expanded. For example, we produce steel at about 70% the carbon rate that China does. And, you know, instead of hampering our own industries here, which is what happens when you just focus on country by country, we need to take a global look at carbon emissions because carbon does not respect borders. And frankly, if Canada became carbon neutral or like zero,
mm-hmm.
China would do what we do in a year in 21 days.
But we have not reached any of our carbon commitments.
That's correct.
Through the Harper years, through the Liberal years before that, under Paul Martin or Jean Chrétien, we haven't under Trudeau. So it's just been a failure. So how do we turn this around? Because look at her. She deserves to have a wonderful world for us to live in. And we can't be the ones who foster a destruction of this place.
You know, I completely agree with you. And, you know, the Paris 2030 targets are our targets. We've explicitly committed to those. And, you know, I would just leave it up to the voter. Take a look at our plan and see what you think. I mean, I think it's a great plan. Take a look at it and look at the other parties and make up your mind. I mean, that's what this election's all about. But again, I'm very I'm very happy and pleased with the plan that we have. It's very fulsome, and it does deal with all aspects of the environment, which you're right, is very important.
On October 21st, if Andrew Scheer becomes the prime minister, there is a chance that that we're going to have a minority government. Is Mr. Scheer prepared to work with parties who may be very, very climate focused? And people have this attitude that maybe Andrew Scheer doesn't believe in climate change.
Well, we've explicitly acknowledged that as a problem in all of our documentation. You know, I can tell you that we're obviously willing to work with other people. We don't want to throw Canada under the bus. And there's a lot of what I would view as hypocrisy right now where we're saying, where some people are saying, look, we're not going to build a foot of another pipeline, but yet we import $10 million a day of oil from Saudi Arabia. You know, we sell off our oil at a discount to the United States. Right now, we know that we're going to be using fossil fuels for a period of time, and there's obviously green technology, and there's also using fossil fuels better, which we've done for, you know, in various ways. But right now, in many ways, our technology in relation to sealing wells and other types of things is far superior to Saudi Arabia and other places. So pound for pound, barrel per barrel, our oil is better than a lot of other...
Do you believe we have a climate situation going on this planet?
Yes, I do. And, you know, it encompasses all of the environment. And like I said, you know, if you focus on carbon to the exclusion of raw sewage dumping, that's also a problem. So we need to look at all aspects of care for the environment. And reducing emissions is obviously a big part of that, but it's not the only part. And, you know, clean water, right? There's a variety of things, that we need to look at. And I believe our plan does that. I believe our plan is...
Do you believe, Andrew Scheer believes there's a climate emergency or climate situation going on on this planet?
Yeah, I don't know anybody in our party who doesn't believe that humans have impact on the world temperature and other types of things. I mean, we obviously have a big impact on the environment, no question. So, you know, our focus is obviously, look, we need to do those things that are good for the environment, that are good for Canada, and that are not hypocritical. I mean, if you're going to shut down our own energy industry but still import from other countries, I mean, that's...
Well, we have the Trans Mountain Pipeline, which we now own.
But we haven't built. We bought it. We haven't put a foot of it in the ground.
I am a believer in pipelines. I think it's the safest way to get the fossil fuels, which we are still going to use for the foreseeable future from point A to point B. There are two that go right under... us here in the Quinte region all the time. They're not perfect, though. But the Liberals and the Conservatives both believe that this is the best way to get our product not only across the country, but to the coast to ship. How would the Conservatives take it one step further?
Well, in my view, the Liberals are trying to do two things at the same time. Appease a section of environmentalists that feel that we should not be doing that, and appease the rest of us, like you and I, that feel, hey, that's the best thing for Canada. So they bought the pipeline, but they haven't done anything to it. And in fact...
Yesterday, the Prime Minister said there's shovels in the ground.
Well, now. I mean, it's taken them a long time to do it. And frankly, there was just a challenge in court where the government didn't submit a thing. So there was different challenges in court from different communities. And the government didn't submit... You know, as a lawyer, I know, like, if you don't submit anything, you're not going to win. Right. So they didn't even answer the materials. They didn't respond, as it's called. So to me, what I think they're trying to do is tell guys like you and I, they're shovel ready. But then when their environmentalists come and they say, hey, you bought that pipeline, they said, well, yeah, we did. But look, we haven't been defending it. We're just whatever. So I don't think, I mean, you know, maybe it'll get built. But, you know, we've said, look, this is in Canada's best interest. We are going to do this, and not just this. We are going to make Canada energy sufficient off of its own energy, which means refineries and other types of things, by 2030. So we will do that, and I think if you look at our record, it's more likely that we will accomplish that than the Liberal Party.
Okay. You have now 2 minutes to tell us why the residents, the voters of Hastings, Lennox, and Addington should vote for Derek Sloan, and your 2 minutes starts right now.
Okay, well, thank you for having me here, and I've always believed that hard work and motivation can create a better life and a more secure future for Canadians. And I entered this race because, like many of you, I'm concerned about the direction of the country, and endless deficits and major mistakes on the international scene, a lack of concern for the basic safety and security of Canadians, and giving handouts and special privileges to corporations and other power brokers is just not the way we want to go. And these handouts have cost all of us successive tax increases, and by our count alone, over $1.5 billion has been given unnecessarily to major corporations who don't even need the money. This has diminished our long-term potential for success and prevents us from getting ahead. Government inaction within our own riding is having a negative impact on our overall development. Investments to help families and their communities that should guarantee our future are bogged down in red tape, taxation, and bureaucracy. Thousands of people that I've talked to across this riding are telling me the same thing. They're working harder than ever, but they're struggling to get by. Family income is not keeping pace with increasing taxes and fees. Taxes are the largest single household expense for middle-class families, taking on average 43% of household income. Canadians are struggling to make ends meet, and the Liberals live in a world where every problem can be solved with another tax. The centerpiece of their plan for the environment is a carbon tax, and the Liberals want much more. In fact, their carbon tax is set to go up by 2.5 times over the next 4 years. A Conservative government will get Canada's finances under control and lower taxes to help you keep more of your hard-earned money. We will eliminate the carbon tax, remove GST from home heating, introduce a green homes tax credit to help make your home energy efficient, raise the old age exemption by $1,000, bring in a tax credit for public transit, bring back the kids' arts and fitness tax credit, boost RESP grants by 50%, make maternity and parental leave tax-free, make a universal tax cut at the lowest income bracket for everyone, totaling $850 a year, cancel $1.5 billion in the corporate welfare, inject $1.5 billion into our healthcare system, and cut red tape for individuals and businesses to get ahead. On October 21st, please vote for me, Derek Sloan, to be your Conservative candidate in Hastings, Lennox, and Addington. Thank you.
Thank you, Derek, and thank you so much for the time today. It was nice to see you. Good luck on the 21st. As we say, if somebody wants to find out more about you or your campaign, how do they do so?
I'll just quickly say I'd like to thank my wife for her help during this campaign. I forgot to mention her earlier. She's a nurse practitioner.
It's a good thing you haven't won an Oscar.
Yes, exactly.
Because then that would have been really bad.
I almost got in trouble. She's a nurse practitioner. She's a wonderful woman. My website is www.electsloan.ca. The Conservative website is www.conservative.ca.
Derek Sloan, candidates for the Conservatives in Hastings, Lennox, and Addington. Ladies and gentlemen, on the 21st, get out there and vote. That is what we're asking you to do, and vote often. All right, thank you very much to all our guests for coming in today and being with us. John and Dave Marino from Marino Locations, thank you so much. And, of course, to Derek Sloan and Nora. Nora, thank you so much for coming in today. We appreciate it. Hey, thanks to Ted Bradford for producing the program today. Tomorrow on the program, another Meet the Candidate is Hastings, Lennox, and Addington NDP candidate David Tuff will be joining us for the hour. News is coming up next at 11. Enjoy this hot day. Maybe get out and barbecue or something like that. Thanks so much for coming out.